We get things underway here in Hour 2 this afternoon. Speaking of tossing and turning, by talking about the upcoming election. To do that, we turn to our friend Pat Callahan of News Center Maine, who joins us on the telephone line this afternoon. Well, here we are just a few days from the election. First of all, thank goodness that it's almost.
Oh, yeah. That's a sentiment I think everybody of any political persuasion can agree with.
It has been that kind of a year in so many respects. Now, I find it very interesting that we're seeing a lot of the president and his family here in the state of Maine. Is it all about that one second district electoral vote?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, they've talked a lot about, the Republicans in Maine have talked about how this year they think they could win the whole state, but I don't think they really believe that's realistic. But they do know that last time around they got the one electoral vote in the second district, and in a tight race, one can make a difference. So they're committing a lot of resources here. And, you know, I can't blame them. It's especially if you've got Air Force One at your disposal, you can go where you please. I mean, you might as well go to Bangor.
Absolutely.
Or to Levant, excuse me. Yeah.
It's a little tougher landing in Levant, but you just clear those pumpkins out of the way.
Yeah, right.
What are you hearing about a voter turnout? So many people have voted early in Maine. Could we be looking at a record level of turnout in this election?
It's certainly possible. There's no doubt that people are energized about this. So there are very few people lukewarm about the choices we're facing. And so Democrats in particular, we've been hearing, are voting in much higher numbers in early voting and absentee voting. But that doesn't mean Republicans won't match that fervor on Election Day itself. The question will be, you know, will we set some kind of record? And only Matt Dunlap knows that, I think.
Let's talk about the U.S. Senate race. It's certainly getting a ton of attention and more than a ton of money funneling into the state of Maine. Susan Collins certainly with her biggest test in an attempt to get another term. Sarah Gideon polling very well so far. Could this race come down to ranked choice voting?
Yeah, I think it really could. You know, the polls have been pretty consistent. There's Susan Collins, I don't think, has led in any of the major polls. And so that's a problem for her. She's been playing catch-up. You know, you never want to count out somebody with that kind of track record. She's been there for 24 years and has a lot of residual goodwill, even though there are plenty of people unhappy with certain decisions she's made in the last couple of years. So when it comes down to it, when you're there with your ballot, I think there's some people who will come around to say, well, you know, I know how she works, and she does work hard, and she has a process for reaching her decisions, then maybe they go with her. But the problem for her is going to be if she doesn't get 50%, get a majority on the first count on election night, then the ranked choice voting kicks in, and the polling indicates and our gut instincts indicate that the people who are likely voting for a Max Lynn or a Lisa Savage may well choose the Democratic candidate as their second choice. And that is kind of what happened 2 years ago when Bruce Poliquin lost his seat. And you know there's going to be a lot of hollering about ranked choice voting again if, in fact, let's say Susan Collins is a half a point or a point ahead in the original count, then you do the ranked choice tabulation and she loses. And that's what happened to Poliquin, and Republicans in particular do not enjoy that.
Do you think there are people out there, Pat, that may not be happy with every decision Senator Collins has made, but would certainly return her to the Senate, but see this also as an opportunity to change the leadership in the Senate and give the Democrats control?
Yeah, I do think that's a big deal. Ordinarily, I wouldn't say that people in Maine or any other state vote that strategically. They vote for the person they know and they like the job they do. But in this case, if you're unhappy with the way the Senate has been doing business, you don't want Mitch McConnell in there anymore. And one of the ways to do that is to change who's in charge, who's the majority party. So I think if there were some way, for example, to say, well, looking at the broad picture, there were so many going to flip that you knew the Republicans wouldn't be in control of that chamber again, a lot of Mainers who are on the fence about it might say, well, I can still vote for Susan Collins and feel good about that. But if you're, and I think McConnell is a much bigger drag on Senator Collins than President Trump is.
We're talking with Pat Callahan, New Center Maine, here on Downtown. The two House races, it appears from the polling that the two incumbents are in pretty solid shape.
Yeah, and certainly in the first district, Shelley Pingree is going to be very hard to dislodge. Jay Allen, I think maybe laying the groundwork perhaps for a future run for something else. He seems like a smart guy. He's got strong opinions. Republicans seem to like him. So, you know, this may be who wants to be the sacrificial lamb against an incumbent who can't be beaten. But, you know, he may be looking down the road and say, well, I've paid my dues, and if there's another race he wants to get into, they might give him some support. In the second district, the numbers have certainly shown that Jared Golden has a strong lead over Dale Crafts, despite the fact that Paul LePage recruited and endorsed Crafts, and that there is a strong Trump contingent in the second district. This may well come down to how strong President Trump is this time. He won by about 10 points 4 years ago. There's no indication right now in any polling that that's going to be repeated. He may well win the second district, but perhaps it'll be a much smaller margin. So if you did get a huge Trump third, that would presumably help Dale Crafts. These aren't people necessarily going to vote for Golden, and yet there could be ticket splitters because Golden has begun to appear a lot like a Mike Michaud kind of congressman. He's not far left. He's okay on gun rights, that sort of thing. And most importantly, he has constituent service that they can count on. And that's really the most important job for any member of Congress. So, you know, though the second district is fairly more conservative than the first, the fact is Mike Michaud, a Democrat, could have had that job for pretty much as long as he wanted if he had decided to.
You mentioned former Governor Paul LePage. How much influence does he still wield in Maine's Republican Party?
He certainly gets people fired up. So, you know, when he's out at a rally and he gets the troops really rocking. So there's that. He has been, again, as we know, flirting with the idea of running for governor again in 2 years. God forbid, I hate to talk about the next election already. I don't want to do that. My hope is that whoever decides to run gives us at least 6 months grace before they start the race. But having said that, you know, he likes to keep his profile high, and yet I remain unconvinced that he really wants to be governor again. I think he probably feels he's done his bit. We will find out. But he certainly has influence. But it doesn't seem to have rubbed off in terms of popularity for Dale Crafts.
Pat, is the state making any preparations for a possible contested election?
Well, Matt Dunlap knows how to run these elections, and Maine is great when it comes to ballot access, meaning it's pretty easy to vote in this state, and that's a good thing. And it's always been that way, and it's more important now than ever because we see what's happening in other states where there's disputes about when absentee ballots can be counted or you know, how long you're going to wait. And we have firm rules about that sort of thing. And the ranked choice process has been tested and has worked. So it seems unlikely there would be any challenge. In fact, for example, in the Senate race a couple weeks ago when we had our last debate with those candidates, they all said, Collins and Gideon in particular, barring some obvious chicanery or problem, they would not contest the outcome of a ranked choice result.
Are you off Max Lynn's Christmas card list?
Well, I don't think so. It was funny in the warm-up, the run-up, I should say, to our forum a couple weeks ago. He was quite pleasant and chatty. And, you know, I think what he was doing in that first debate with the whole request denied, he was new at this. And I think he thought what you need to do is stir things up and get attention. He may have realized the attention he was getting was not really conducive to someone who might actually want to get some votes. So, I at the time, I likened it to bring up Paul LePage again. Paul LePage would say outrageous things in certain circumstances, but when you got him on a debate stage, he knew his job was to prove to voters that he could do the job, that he was competent, and that he was ready to be in charge. Max Lynn, of course, did not do that. So, after the first couple of debates, Lynn seemed to calm down a little bit and actually start answering questions and make his case and let people decide if that's a good one.
Hey, you've covered so many elections through the years. Is there one that stands out as the most interesting for you as a journalist?
Well, in terms of state races, I remember 1990 was like the heavyweight championship fight because it was former Governor Joe Brennan, the Democrat, trying to get back into the Blaine House against the Republican who succeeded him, Jock McKernan. And that was, as I say, that was a couple of clash of the titans, if you will. And it was interesting. And I remember at the time thinking there were some ads in the campaign that were pretty rough. I think if you rolled those now, people would find them rather innocuous.
Very quaint compared to what we see these days.
Yeah, 1990 was a long time ago, but that was a great election. That was just one of those that the whole once and future governor thing, but it was also fought on issues. There were some really important things going on in the state at the time, so it was substantive as well as I like to say, it generated some light as well as heat.
April 17th, Pat, I've circled it on my calendar. I don't know if you'll be at Durham for spring football, Maine and New Hampshire, but I'm going to find you in that crowd.
Well, you know, it turns out that it'll be a nice springtime event for the mighty New Hampshire Wildcats to defend their rightful possession of the Bryce Cowell Mustard. Is that strong enough for you?
Yeah, I like that. That's good. We beef up that rivalry a little bit more. And I have to ask you this before you go, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer. Do all of the journalists at News Center Maine look the same with their shirt off as Lee Nelson?
Sadly, no. That's why you never see me with my shirt off. No, Lee is one of a kind. So, he's as I'm sure you know, he's retiring from the TV news biz and becoming a personal trainer. So, I think that's probably a good advertisement for him.
And if I looked like that, I'd be dancing at Chippendales. I wouldn't be doing this.
I look more like Chris Farley in the Chippendales.
Well, me too. Absolutely. Pat, always good to talk with you. Thank you so much for shedding some light on the upcoming election, and get some rest. I have the feeling that could be a long couple of days.
Yeah, I expect it's going to be. But listen, we've been waiting for this a long time. As you say, we will all be glad when it's in our rearview mirror. And let's hope that we can actually put it to rest and stop thinking about it constantly after that.
That would be great. Pat, thanks as always. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thank you, Rich.